B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
From the Tom Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'll tell you what, Chris, I don't know if you've taken a look at like the schedule for the upcoming week. The Boston Sports Cup runneth over. Basically, every single night you got something, whether it's a Celtics playoff game or a Bruins playoff game. We're knuckle deep into the NFL draft. Day three gets underway a little less than an hour from now. Lot going on. Lot to get excited about. We'll get into the Celtics about an hour from now at the Sports Hub Celtics show, but why don't we start with the Patriots? Their selections made last night. Your thoughts on those. Leftover thoughts on their night one selection, Curtis Strange. I hate the pick. I
think Curtis Strange, is that what you're calling him?
Oh.
Cole Strange?
Cole Strange. You know,
I thought that was a joke.
No, it was all a matter of time. Like, it was all a matter of time before I got him mixed up with the golfer. Yes, Cole Strange. A Cole Strange football player, not Curtis Strange, golfer.
Doesn't Cole... Now, this is one that you're going to laugh at me, you know, and very early on, we're going to get off track here. But, you know, I love this movie, Days of Thunder, which I'm sure you think is a terrible movie.
You know, I haven't seen it in like 30 years. I only saw it that one time when it came out.
But, you know, when you say Cole's, when I hear Cole Strange, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a driver in that movie. The driver's name, Tom Cruise played Cole Trickle.
It does.
But I feel like Cole Strange could have been a driver in that movie.
That's very much a NASCAR name. Yeah, yeah. Rubbin's Racing.
This one's for you, Harry. You know,
I will say
thing.
We are very lucky that you know that we are in a enlightened part of the country where we don't ever have to talk about NASCAR. But it's a sport, is it?
You must have had to do it in Atlanta.
No, you know where I had to do it is when I worked at Rock 101 in New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire, the deep south of the north. It's cleaned up a bit, but those of you from that area that are normal, you know what I'm talking about. It really is like, am I in Arkansas? It's a hellhole. When I worked at that terrible radio station, they used to, the rock station in southern New Hampshire, that used to simulcast the races on the weekends. So when they did the two, they only do the one at Loudoun, but they did two in Loudoun, one in the summer and then one at the end of summer, in September. Yeah. I still remember I missed the Patriots at Panthers game in 2005 to cover that effing race. so stupid. So, yeah, I'd have to go to that track, and all these hillbillies come in from other parts of the country. It's just, oh, God, it just the air of stickiness and meth. Oh, thank God we don't have to cover that horrible, horrible, and I'm using air quotes, sport on this station and in this part of the country. Rubbin's Racing. Just an excuse to sit down and drink for 7 hours.
Can I just tell a quick story, and then we'll get to the NFL?
Please. No.
So I actually don't mind NASCAR, but I covered it for the first time in 2006. And it was the first NASCAR Cup that Jimmy Johnson won.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down there, and, you know, it's not the most...
So where was this?
This was in Homestead, Florida.
Okay.
It's not the most diverse sort of, you know, group of people. So I was down there to cover this for the Globe, right? And it happened to be like the debut race of Juan Pablo Montoya, who was an open wheel driver. He was an IndyCar and he was driving in NASCAR. And everyone I met looked at me and assumed I was there only to cover Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that
That's they were like, oh, Juan Pablo's over there. I just saw Juan Pablo. And I'm like, I'm here to cover like Jimmy Johnson and whether he chokes or not, you know?
That about sums up that crowd. Yeah, no, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, so what do you think of the picks from last night? Because I will say this. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know much about Houston cornerback Marcus Jones, the take with the 85th
Baller.
Pick. Wide receiver Tyquan Thornton out of Baylor. I just know this from reading up on it, but just watching clips. They're fast.
Yes.
And the team desperately needed to get faster at key positions. And at the very least, I think they did that last night.
Yeah, they did. You know, I think that Tyquan Thornton pick is one that's going to be really interesting to follow because they moved up four spots to take him. There were some other, I'd say, more recognizable wide receiver names on the board. The next receiver drafted two picks later is George Pickens by Pittsburgh, who has an outstanding record of wide receiver development. I mean, other than James Washington, like I struggle to think of a wide receiver, you know, drafted relatively high that the Steelers haven't hit on. And then after that, there's two more receivers that go, Alec Pierce to Indianapolis, and then Sky Moore, a guy that a lot of people thought should have gone to the Patriots. You know, people like Daniel Jeremiah have been saying Sky Moore's a good fit for them. He's quick as a hiccup, all that stuff. So he goes. So three of the next four picks are wide receivers after they take Tyquan Thornton. So I think you're going to be comparing Tyquan Thornton to those guys for years to come, and hopefully it's not a N'Keal Harry, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown situation. I like the speed. I definitely like the speed. I will say this. You know, I'm obviously not a scout. I do watch a lot of college football. I've seen him play. I've watched some of his tape. He's like a long strider. You know, he's one of the, like, he doesn't look like he's running 4.28 when he's out there, and I don't think he plays quite as fast as he ran. I mean, he plays fast, but it's not like you're 4.28. You're expecting, like, you're going to see it. It's like, oh my God, this is like Tyreek Hill out here. It's not quite that. He just looks like a really fast guy because he's a long strider. So I think he can help them. You know, it's just my concern, Jim, with him is that when the Patriots miss at this position, and boy, do they miss often, especially drafting this high, I feel like their misses are based on valuing some sort of physical testing trait over the guy's overall polish and ability to play receiver.
Physical testing trait or a mental testing trait? I feel like they're into whether he tested well, you know, on the Wonderlic or something like that, whether or not he, you know, the coach can vouch for him.
Well, let me give you some examples because you're right overall, but at receiver, they tend to do the opposite, which is strange. Bethel Johnson could absolutely fly.
Yeah.
But he had no clue what was happening.
Oh, that's true.
Chad Jackson in 2006. Chad Jackson ran like a 4.32 40, and his three cone time, which they love, was 6.73, which for a guy who, his size, and Chad Jackson was rocked out, man. He was rocked out. But they loved the physical freakiness, and that's why Bill took him. I'll give you another one, N'Keal Harry. You know, Harry, for 6'4", 225, he's going to out-jump guys. He's very strong, ran like a 4.52, which for a guy that size is pretty good. So when they miss, it tends to be because they're looking at a guy that has like a great physical trait versus just saying like, okay, this guy knows how to play receiver. And that's my concern on Thornton is, did they just fall in love with the speed? Can he do other things?
Any concern about him being a bit of a reach? Because this is another thing that I'm reading about. Like, okay, he's fast. Great. They need to get faster at that position. But, you know, you look at some of these prognosticators and draft nicks, and not many had Tyquan Thornton near the 50th pick. Daniel Jeremiah, good reputation as a scout. He didn't have him in his top 150. CBS Sports, they rated him 159. Gil Brandt, who's been around a long time, not in his top 100. Did they reach on this player like they did with Cole Strange?
Maybe a little. I mean, I think there was going to be a run on receivers. You know, I would not have been surprised if another team took Tyquan Thornton in the second round. You know, reach for me, it's like, what's the definition of a reach? You know, like I said, I did some poking around yesterday on the Cole Strange thing. Like, he wasn't going to make it out of the second round. You know, this was not like a Jordan Richards, Tavon Wilson situation where maybe those were more extent where you're drafting the guy like a round ahead. You know, Cole Strange, if they didn't take him at 29, like, I'm pretty confident in talking to NFL people, like, he wasn't going to be there at 54. Thornton, I think, also would have gone in the second round, but I think he would have gone towards the bottom of the round. And I would say moving up to get him is a little interesting to me. And there are receivers that went after him that, frankly, I like better.
Specifically?
Pickens.
Pickens.
Yeah. Because, you know, the thing about Pickens is Pickens was up there with, he wasn't as good as, but he was one of the better receivers in the SEC. before he tore his ACL. And he was sort of up there, you know, Devontae Smith. He wasn't as good as him, but I'm just saying he was like the next tier of guys. Like, to me, when George Pickens was healthy, he was better than Mechie. And Mechie went, you know, what, 44 or whatever to Houston. He was better than John Mechie. He was a legit number one receiver in the best college football conference in America. And he tore the ACL and he was out, and then he came back and he wasn't quite the same guy. But George Pickens, to me, I think, has like number one receiver potential. And I like Sky Moore better too, just based on, you know, and I'm not going to pretend I saw a bunch of Sky Moore Western Michigan games. I didn't. But just based on what you read about him and the little bit of highlights you watch, you know, he looks like sort of a quick, shifty receiver, and that's kind of the Patriots thing. So I like both those guys better than Thornton, just sort of off the hoof.
85th pick, they take cornerback Marcus Jones out of Houston. I like some of the write-up on him.
I like this guy.
Physical defensive back. Looks like they can use him in the return game. Again, speed. Greasy, fast speed. Here's the things I don't like. Coming off surgery on both of his shoulders. 5'8", Chris?
Yeah, he's small. He's short.
Yeah, he's wee. But why do you like this pick, and why do you like this particular
he's
player?
He's just electric with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's for a little guy, he's like physical. He has tenacity. He's tough. Like, I've seen him play at Houston. Like, he's one of those guys, like, you turn on the game, and within, like, 5 minutes, you're like, who's this guy? Like,
okay.
You notice him. He stands out, right? And a lot of times, that's what you want. You know, when you turn on, as a viewer, when you turn on the game, you want a guy to stand out,
sure.
Right? And the scouts, when they turn on the tape and they look at that tape, they want that guy to stick out right away. And this guy does, and he's an electric returner. One of the scouting guides compared him as a returner to Dante Hall.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, he's electric as a returner, and they also use him a little on offense down there. I like this pick. You know, look, yeah, do they have a lot of slot corner types? They do. Maybe Jonathan Jones can play outside, which would make some sense, and you can free this kid up to play inside. And I know people get mad at the Patriots for special teams stuff, but I think this kid has the potential to be like a really good slot corner and returner, and I think there's value in that. I like of their three picks so far, this is the one I feel the best about.
All right, so guys, if you hated the Cole Strange pick, and I think you would be right to, how do you feel after these selections last night? You feel a little bit better about the Patriots draft as we go into day three, which gets underway 45 minutes from now. Hey, let's hear from you at 617-779-0985. We'll also talk to our very own Alex Barth. You talk about a draft, Nick. You following his draft coverage at 98.5sportshub.com? You should. We'll talk to him in about 20 minutes as well. But your thoughts on last night for the Patriots and the draft thus far, 617-779-0985. Back after this on Gasper Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Chris Gasper.
Oh my God.
Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Guys, it's Donnie Osmond giving a Patriots draft choice. Words I never thought I would ever say.
What's up, Las Vegas? I'm announcing for the Patriots. With the 85th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Marcus Jones, defensive back, Houston.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. So Chris really high on this pick, Marcus Jones, cornerback out of Houston. And that selection made by Donnie Osmond last night. I get you're in Las Vegas, but you have to bring out a relic like that to make that pick. By the way, that is a guy that you can look at and say, well, you should never get any kind of plastic surgery. Male, female, like, at some point you need to stop. But I'm so addicted to it, and I need to still look young. You look like a fool. You were just during the commercial break. You were gushing about this pick. You really think this kid can be a player, not just as a return man, but give me a comp for him at corner.
Okay, this might be a little
high watermark.
Okay, high watermark, and this is more of a corner, but I'm going to say high watermark, Tyrann Mathieu.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So he's got that kind of baldiness to his game.
He's ballsy. You know, see, sometimes guys get away from him because he's a little small in terms of the tackling. He's probably not the tackler that Matthew is, but he's just around the ball.
Okay.
He's just around the ball.
The ball finds him type of guy. I like that.
You know, he had a sack this year blitzing. He's not afraid. I like this pick. I do. And maybe if they can get him in the weight room a little bit and add another, say, like 10 pounds, you know, to him and you know, he's always going to be short. He's always going to be a little small. But if you can generate the type of quickness and speed that he can generate, then you can make some tackles. I mean, we've seen it, right? Who is the Dolphins guy that, like, ran over N'Keal Harry?
And, oh,
remember
right.
that? Like,
yeah,
N'Keal Harry had, like, 50 pounds on the guy. And, like, you know, but he just came up. And I could see Marcus Jones making that type of hit. You know, I like this pick. This guy's just – he's just a player, you know?
All right, Frank the Tank, you're first up with us here on Casper Murray this morning. What do you make of the Patriots draft so far? And, hi, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Very good, Frank.
Look, do you mind if I take a couple seconds here to piss off a segment of the population?
Please, go nuts.
Okay, look, I understand that the game's changing and, you know, society's changing for the worst, in my opinion. But what exactly are the Bruins fans watching, okay? I'm not saying that Swayman is a bad pick for the Seventh Player Award, but it's the wrong pick. Does anybody know who number 56 is? Paula, from the beginning of the year in January, it's like what you said. He made you forget about David Krejci. I mean, people, what are we looking at here? I'm starting to question the people that I love the most in this area. Like, we're not as violent anymore. We're not calling for any violence on the ice anymore. We're starting to get weak, and we're starting to get a little bit stupid. I think we're losing our fastball with the Seventh Player Award. But my football thing is, it's very simple, very, very simple question for you guys. What do they do with their remaining picks here? Are they going to try to find themselves some linebackers that can run? Because I really honestly thought that they should have used that first pick to get themselves a good linebacker. That's my thoughts on the Pats, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, it was something I quickly mentioned at in the final hour. Felger and Mazin, Agenda Free Friday yesterday. Chris, the Seventh Player Award voted by the fans on Essen. It shouldn't have went to Jeremy Swayman. It should have went to Eric Halla. But on the Patriots draft, how are they going to use these remaining picks? Still a lot of holes, especially at linebacker.
Yeah, let me just start at linebacker. I mean, again, the sense that I have from just poking around a little is that they feel pretty good about their linebackers. And actually, Matt Groh was asked about it last night. Was asked about the linebacker core, and they have some guys, and Cameron McGrone was a pick last year, basically was a red shirt because he was coming off a torn ACL. They traded for Mac Wilson. I think that they feel like they're a little better at that position than other people do. That doesn't mean they won't go for a linebacker at this point, but I don't think that they saw that as much of a need as maybe we did. And that was the sense I got after day one. And just talking to people is that they are higher on their linebackers than we are and maybe feel like it's not quite as big a need. I don't think there are really any great linebackers left. I like this kid, Brandon Smith, out of Penn State. But if I had to sort of boil down what I think they're going to do with these remaining picks and where they're going to go, I would say I think they should double up at receiver. I still think that there are some receivers out there that are, you know, sort of interesting to me. Khalil Shakur from Boise State, Kyle Phillips from UCLA, Bo Melton from Rutgers.
Oh, Bo Melton's still
out
there.
Bo Melton's still on. Was he a Felgram as big board guy?
That's a big board guy.
He's still out there. He's still out there. So those guys are interesting to me.
Boy, he fits their mold.
He really does. I mean, Rutgers, you know, slot guy, all that stuff. You know, that's basically like Patriots porn, you know, if they're to draft this guy. And they have 3 fourth-round picks here, 3 sixth-round picks. I also think that they need to get a big nose tackle type of guy. There's still some of those guys left on the board. A Neil Farrell from LSU is still there. There's a kid from Ridgeway from Arkansas. And then this one might surprise people a little bit. I think they need to look at running back. Just with Damian Harris's contract situation, James White coming off the hip injury. Specifically, I think they could use a pass catching back out of the backfield. And the guy I like is from Missouri, Tyler Beatty. A little undersized, but can run between the tackles, good catching the ball out of the backfield, has some explosion, played in the SEC. I like him. So those are the three areas, if I were them, that I would be looking to address here. the rest of the day.
I will say I saw some of the transcript from Groh talking last night, and I'm already annoyed that the – I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially what he said about Cameron McGrone is like, oh, we're going to kind of consider him like one of our draft picks
yes.
this year. Like,
yeah.
Oh, stop it with that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so annoying. Jeremy in Brookfield on the Patriots draft thus far. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Chris, I'm kind of with you. I think that they definitely feel like the linebacker position is probably okay for right now, and I strongly disagree with that because you got Raekwon McMillan and McGrone coming back from injuries. You're banking on those guys coming back and being fast enough and up to speed, and I think that's wrong, especially when at 21 you had a pick of, you know, Devin Lloyd or some other really good linebackers. And I almost feel the same about the secondary. Like, they got Sean Wade last year. I feel like they look at him as like a developmental piece.
Yeah.
And so maybe that takes off some of the urgency for them to get a corner, which I don't agree with. And I think that they're just stretching so much to, you know, seem so much smarter than everyone, getting, you know, the wide receiver that not too many people had ranked very high, getting the guard that, you know, people thought would be available with that second pick. I don't feel good at all about this draft. I don't feel good about the off season. I know you guys have talked before about like the whole Shaq Mason situation. Like, I don't get where they traded him away and where did that money go? Where is the money going? You don't re-sign JC Jackson, and where is this money going to help the roster?
Yeah, that's a great point when you put it in those terms. You know, the way I look at it is this, Jim. Basically, after one offseason where they really needed to get back in the playoffs, get back on the beam, and make you forget that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, and that's what that offseason was all about. We have to be relevant again as quickly as possible. We got to close the gap on Brady so this isn't an embarrassment. They're basically like, we made the playoffs, we found a quarterback, now we're going to go back to doing what we do. And there's a lot of people around here who say, you know, in Bill, I trust. Bill trusts in the system. And I think that's what we've learned this offseason, that above anything else, above the talent of the players, the idea that maybe last offseason represented a sea change for them, the reality is he's right back to doing what he normally does. Teams out here are like trading for Khalil Mack, and they're signing Von Miller, and they're trading for A.J. Brown and Amari Cooper, and the Patriots are out here drafting guards in the first round, which is what they did for two decades. And it worked great when you had Tom Brady. Does it work without Tom Brady? Bill thinks it does. We'll find out.
Yeah, it just, to me, at this point, it feels like an antiquated way of thinking and drafting because the game has changed so much. It's about trying to get players in space. It's about speed. And I don't think that you can win with any of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league, which is that annoying ethos that they still carry. Like, they still undervalue Brady, which blows my mind at this point, Chris.
I just think that they have a very strong belief. Bill has a very strong belief in the system. And when I say the system, that encompasses a lot of things. And I think a big part of his coaching, I think he believes that, you know, they can coach guys up. They don't need to have the same level of talent as other teams, because if you have their system of coaching and their offensive system, and you have him as a coach, and you have a good to very good quarterback, that all can elevate the rest of the roster. I mean, to me, the untold story of this offseason and what's sort of unsaid or unspoken in everything they're doing is that they're expecting Mac Jones to make a huge leap and like elevate the roster. Does this strike you as a roster they're building and saying, we're going to get these huge pieces that like really help Mac Jones? Or does it strike you as a roster where they're saying, we're going to get pieces that are, you know, solid and good, and we think Mac Jones is going to make them great?
That's the latter. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid in his second year, I think.
Like, yeah, I agree.
You know, so we'll see. Again, I think it feels...
They definitely don't think he's a Jag.
Yeah. I just think that it's an antiquated way of thinking in the game. Again, it's changed so much. It's so pass-driven. It's so quarterback-driven. And you're out there taking a guard? Ugh. All right, let's get more on the Patriots draft thus far and what could be coming today with their next selections from Alex Barth, who does a hell of a job covering the Patriots in the draft at 98.5thesportshub.com. We'll talk to AB next here on Gasper Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. All right, we're about 20 minutes away from day three of the NFL draft in Las Vegas getting underway. Many, many more selections to be made by the New England Patriots. And to give us some insight on how those selections might be made, at least today, joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, our own Alex Barth. Make sure you're following his draft coverage at 98.5thesportshub.com. What's up, Barth?
How's it going, guys? How you doing? Good morning.
Good, Alex.
Very good. So before we get into what could happen today, give me your thoughts on the picks that were made last night.
So I liked last night in terms of, I think they went totally towards high floor on day one, and then they countered that by going on, you know, high ceiling on day two. It's an approach they took last year. It netted them Mac Jones and Christian Barmore. Now, Mac Jones, a quarterback, Cole Strange is a guard. It's, you know, not the same in terms of the impact position, but overall, I like the approach. I think Tyquan Thornton, it's 50-50 whether he hits, but I love the chance they took. I think he's everything they haven't been drafting at the wide receiver position over the last 10 years. And it kind of reminds me, Jim, I think you're a Seinfeld guy. Chris, I think you are too. The episode where George starts going against all his instincts, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of what Tyquan Thornton is to me. He has so much of what the receivers they were taking weren't that, you know, try something different. He's got real speed, like real speed, 4.28 40, fastest of any wide receiver in the class. I think they needed that dynamic on offense. I know, Jim, it's something you talked about all week on Felger and Maz, get some speed on the offensive side of the ball. And then Marcus Jones is a really exciting player. Jonathan Jones in a contract year. I think Marcus Jones is somebody who can step in, be that starting slot cornerback. We saw how much they missed Jonathan Jones at times last year. Marcus Jones, another very fast player, sub 4.440, and then he was the best kick and punt returner in college football last year. He's going to give them a real dynamic back there. Some draft experts have compared him to Dante Hall, Devin Hester. I'm not going to go that far. Those are the two greatest of all time, but he does add, he is a must watch when he is back to return a kick or a punt. So another way to kind of maybe jumpstart you know, the scoring production, field position, all of that. He's a guy that always made a lot of sense for them. He's the one guy I think they took based on the consensus boards in the right spot. So a lot of upside there, so I like it.
Yeah, and so, like, there's some that I've read about Marcus Jones that I really like. It looks a little undersized. I'm certainly a little nervous of the fact he's had coming off surgery on both shoulders. But here's what I'm a little confused with him, Alex, is – like, you read some of this draft assessment, and some look at him as like, well, he could be used as a wide receiver. And then others are like, well, he could be a quarterback, obviously, because that was his position. Maybe he can be both. But if he's a wide receiver, why not maybe take Calvin Austin, who's still on the board? Or if he's a cornerback, maybe Zion McCollum or another player. It just, like, how is he going to be used, do you think?
I would be surprised if he's a wide receiver in the true sense. Maybe in a year or two, is there a package for him on offense? I could see it down the road. No, he's a true slot corner. And when you bring up Zion McCollum, who is a good player, and I'd like to see them take on day three, I think they wanted the slot corner. I think they wanted to make sure that they had somebody to come in when Jonathan Jones left who could fill that role. And he was the best slot corner on the board at the time. He's one of the best slot corners in this draft entirely. I think they maybe saw the way the board was falling, and they need a boundary corner, but like you mentioned, Zion McCollum was falling. Tariq Woolen was falling. Both of Alabama's starting cornerbacks are still on the board, Josh Shobe and Jalen Amore Davis. I wonder if they saw that and said, well, look, we need both spots. We need a slot corner and an outside corner. The slot depth is a little less in this class. Let's take the slot guy now where we can get him, and we'll come back and we'll have options on the outside on day three. And I like that approach. I do like that approach. We'll see if they do end up taking one of these outside guys, but I really wouldn't be surprised if they double up on corner here and get a more traditional boundary guy.
So, you know, I like the idea of doubling up, and I would certainly put cornerback, you know, up there, you know, with their needs. Do you think they'll double up at receiver? Because I still think there are some interesting guys still on the board at receiver as they enter the fourth round. Or do you think that they feel like, okay, we brought in Devontae Parker, we still have Aguilar, we still have Jacoby Myers, who they gave a pretty, you know, they gave the second round tender to Jacoby. That's almost $4 million, and obviously Kendrick Bourne. Or do you think they look at it and say, okay, like, you know, this is a position we should double up at?
Yeah, so I could totally see it. And it's sort of the same thing at corner, but reversed, right? I talked about, well, they added the slot guy, now add somebody on the outside. They've added Tyquan Thornton in the draft, Devontae Parker. But Jacoby Myers is still here, but he's going to be a free agent next year. And the way some of these wide receiver contracts are going, if he has another 90-catch year, he's going to get paid. Like, he's going to get big money. And they don't have another obvious slot receiver behind him on the roster. They have some guys who can do both. Kendrick Bourne would be on that list, but they don't have that true slot, which is a position they really value. So I would like to see them go and get a slot receiver today, double up to pair with Thornton and somebody, if Jacoby Myers does leave, who could take over that role maybe in 2023, contribute a little in 2022, and then start in 2023. And there's good options on the board. Bo Melton was a Felger Maz big board guy from Rutgers. If they're going to keep doing the speed thing, right, just going for raw speed, raw athleticism, Melton makes a ton of sense. But he's also a good route runner, which they value at the position. I also really like Khalil Shakir from Boise State.
Yeah,
the guy they met with leading into the draft. You do? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my guy.
If they come away with like one of those two guys and you're pairing Thornton and that guy, that's not a bad, you know, 2-3 moving forward. They still need the one. You hope it's Devontae Parker. But for the next 2, 3, 4 years, I think if you have Thornton, if he hits his ceiling, and then Khalil Shakir, who's a bit more of a floor pick, those are guys who are going to contribute. Those are guys who are going to be able to give you something on offense.
Talking to Alex Barth here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Follow his draft coverage at 98.5thesportshub.com and on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. So as we get you know, close to day three kicking off here in the next 15 minutes, what are some other needs they need to address, in your opinion, at least today?
So I'd like to see them add a defensive lineman, specifically an interior defensive lineman. They were 25th against the run last year in terms of opposing yards per carry. There's a couple ways they could do that. They could get a more athletic, versatile guy. Perrion Winfrey from Oklahoma was the Senior Bowl MVP. I'm surprised he's fallen. He's kind of similar to Barmore. The two of them next to each other, I think, could be something. They could also add just like the true nose tackle. Marquan McCall from Kentucky is my guy there, 6'2", 350. Just early down run stopper. I think maybe adding an outside linebacker is a direction I could see them go. You know, they lost Kyle Van Noy, somebody who can do some of that. Jesse Lucchetta from Penn State. And then I'd like to see them add another offensive lineman. I'd like to see them add a tackle, potential developmental tackle, and then pass catching running back.
I was going to say, Chris mentioned a running back. Do you think that would be on the table here before the draft wraps?
Absolutely. We don't know what James White's condition is. We saw how bad they missed him last year. Isaiah Spiller has fallen tremendously. I thought he was the best in this class. He can catch passes. Later on, Tyler Beatty from Missouri like screams James White clone to me. I really like him. I could see them going early down back too, honestly, with Damian Harrison a contract year, whether it's Hassan Haskins from Michigan, Tyler Algier from BYU. They took a running back with their first day three pick last year. That was 120 overall, Ramondre Stevenson. They're on the board at 121, 127 today. I could totally see one of those picks being a running back. I also wouldn't sleep on quarterback. Jared Stidham's in a contract year, Hoyer's year to year. They invest in that position. Most of the quarterbacks they took when Brady were here were top 150 guys, even if they were never going to start. There's been some quarterbacks that have fallen, Bailey Zappe, Western Kentucky, Carson Strong, Nevada. I wouldn't sleep on a quarterback either at some point today.
Yeah, I just want to circle back sort of to day one here because we haven't had a chance to talk to you about it on this show. How did you feel about their approach? It certainly didn't surprise me. I mean, I thought they were going to trade down and then take a big ugly on, you know, one of the sides of the ball. But do you think it was the right approach, number one, in terms of what they did? And do you think they took the right guy? Or should they have gone in a different, maybe more sort of obvious direction, whether that was staying at 21 and taking a guy like Devin Lloyd, or whether that was, you know, dropping down to 29 and maybe filling another need there?
So I like the trade down. Even, you know, all things considered, I think the trade down, that was a good move. In terms of the pick, I would have rather seen them address the secondary, whether it was Daxton Hill or Andrew Booth. That being said, if they were set on taking a lineman, they wanted a guy who would come in, start year one. Cole Strange is a player. I like the player. He's a good addition to the team. I think there's probably better picks that could have gotten there. I don't think he's going to end up being a bust in the sense that he can't play. I think you're going to look at some of those guys who went ahead of him, whether it's Quay Walker, who they did, you know, lose by trading out, or Daxton Hill, and wonder what could have been if they took one of those guys. But they got a starter. It honestly, again, it kind of reminds me of what they did last year. I think they saw guard as their biggest position in need, and they took the most NFL-ready player on the board at the position. Now, guard and quarterback are two very different positions, but I think it's kind of the same approach. It's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, and you hit on it there. There are two very different positions. I just think, you know, given where the NFL is, and this is my opinion here, guys, I agree with you on the player. I think he'll be solid. I think he'll be a starter. But I honestly can't think of another position on offense that affects winning less than the guard. I mean, guards can lose games, but they can't win them. The Patriots had the greatest guard of all time in John Hanna. What did he win? Not his fault, but what did he win? Mankins never won here. There were some close calls, obviously. Super Bowl 42, Super Bowl 46, but he didn't win. So I look at the position in today's NFL, and also just the total capital, both draft and financial, they've spent at that position the last couple of years. You go into 1 year, you have $24 million tied up in guards between Joe Tooney on the franchise tag and Shaq Mason. You know, then you're moving on, you let Tooney go, you bring in Ted Karras, you decide not to re-sign Ted Karras, you trade Shaq Mason. Now you're using a first-round pick on Cole Strange. To me, it's a lot of spinning of wheels and exercising of capital at a position that doesn't really move the needle.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. And I wonder if, honestly, this pick is kind of to counter some of the spending they did at guard. They feel like they don't want to spend so much at that position, and this was a way to get talent at cost. Now, could they have done that on day two or day three? Of course. But again, I understand if people have a problem with the pick. It's not about the player. I think Cole Strange is a good player. It's not about him. It's were there other players on the board? Again, I said it. I would have loved to have seen them address the secondary there. I thought Dax Hill would have been a home run pick for them at 29 to trade down and still get him. That would be where my question would lie with that pick. Not so much why Cole Strange, but why not somebody else?
Just real quick, Alex, before we let you go, can you give me your assessment on, like, have you looked at any other teams thus far and said, well, wow, that's a really good draft, or wow, that draft sucks?
Sure. So I think Atlanta, I didn't love what they did on day one. I'm not a big Drake London guy, but they were excellent yesterday. The Falcons, I thought, had a great draft. I'm a big fan of Troy Anderson, the linebacker from Montana State. I think D'Angelo Malone is a really high upside player. If they take Matt Araiza, the punter, today, I'm going to be all in on it. I'm serious. I thought Houston had a really good draft, too. I know everybody's saying the Jets. I'll believe the Jets had a good draft when the players play well. The Jets have won the draft so many times in the last 20 years, and how many times did it end up mattering? So they got players who project to be good. Let's see if they can develop them. Let's see if they can work it out. I know that's like the it answer to this question, but I'm not ready to go there yet. I'd say Atlanta. I would say Houston. And you know what? The other New York team. I thought the Giants had a very good draft as well.
Alex, can I just ask you quickly? You know, we addressed a lot of positions there, and you mentioned Dax Hill a couple of times was a guy you wanted. Do you feel like the Patriots need to address safety, particularly sort of center field type safety? Because Devin McCourty, we don't know how much longer he's going to play. Or do you feel like they have guys on that roster who, if Devin goes down or steps away after the season, that can play that sort of center field safety?
So I think I like Dax Hill because he could play both corner and safety. That's why I liked him in that spot. But I do think safety is a need. I think since they traded Jerron Harmon, they haven't had that second true deep safety. I think it's been a need for years. There were a couple guys in this draft that I really liked. There was a run on them late yesterday. Nick Cross, Kirby Joseph. The one guy left today I like, and his pro comp, a lot of outlets had his pro comp as Devin McCourty, like a young Devin McCourty, is Verone McKinley, the safety from Oregon.
I like him.
He was supposed to be a second-round pick a couple of years ago. Fell because he had an iffy 2021, but they took guys last year who were coming off of down years who turned out well. I'd love to see him add a guy like that today.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at RealAlexBarth, and make sure you're following his draft coverage at 98.5thesportshub.com. Alex Barth joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. All right, go get ready for round three there, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, and again, follow him at RealAlexBarth on Twitter.
Good stuff.
Yeah, always good
stuff.
I could
talk draft all day, especially with someone like Alex. He really knows the stuff inside and out.
He always tweets that he's like he's a sicko about it. Like, again, he'd be jacked up if, like, they, you know, that punter gets, when that punter gets drafted today, the guy that hits like the 90-yard
punt. I'm surprised you're not a bigger draft guy.
Used to be.
I can tell. Yeah.
Now it's just because, well, the big board has really like warped my mind because you get into these magazines and you follow the college football and you feel like these guys are going to translate so well into the NFL, and so often they don't. You know who really? It's the big board and Sammy Watkins, Chris.
Okay.
I was living down south. I went to they were both unbeaten at the time. I'm sure you remember this. It was like 2013, 2014. Clemson, Florida State, big Saturday night game. Both were unbeaten. Jameis Winston was the quarterback at the time. Who was the quarterback of Clemson? He ended up going to the Jets. Oh, he sucked when he ended up getting drafted. Sammy Watkins on that team. And, dude, like, I've watched a lot of sports live in my life. That was a guy. We were talking about, like, a guy that just pops.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's going to be unbelievable. And remember the Bills, right? They traded up for him.
Yeah, they did.
And I was like, this guy is going to be, like, a complete game changer. And he's had a decent career. It's like the Reggie Bush thing. Like, Reggie Bush had a decent career. But that dude, like, popped off the screen. And after that, I was like, these guys sometimes just don't translate. This is so frustrating. You look at this guy and say, this is a home run, like, absolute lock of a pick. He's going to be a stud in the NFL, and it so often doesn't end up happening. And it was that, along with the big board, because the big board gets it right more often than the prognosticators do. So I was like, the hell with this.
But I'd say the draft prep and everything you're talking about, it's kind of like dating. You know, it looks good on paper. You feel like, it has all the components. And then, you know, it's a bust or it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I hated dating, too. ended up feeling like another job. All right, well, with that, your thoughts on the Patriots draft thus far. We'll come back and get your thoughts at 617-779-0985. I don't know how so many of you continue to do it. Like, if you find someone good, just, like, lock it down. It's one of the best recommendations I give to you. Like, there could be someone better. There's not. It feels like another job. You're just wasting money. You have these inane conversations time and time again. I don't know how you continue to do it. I really don't. We'll be back with your thoughts on the Patriots draft thus far, and then we'll get into the Sports Hub Celtics show as they get ready for Game 1, second round series against the Bucks, which happens tomorrow at TD Garden.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, before we get into the Sports Hub Celtics show, we'll be all Celtics for the next hour. Let's go to John in Charlestown with the thought of the Patriots draft thus far. Hello, John. You're here with Gasper Murray.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a huge fan of both of yours. I can't call Saturdays because of my work, but I sit there to the tune, my favorite show. Hey, but anyway, another debacle in the draft. I'm sorry. The people that we dreamed of were all available to us. He doesn't take them. I don't know how long it's going to take before the guy is dismantling his own legacy, just, you know, bit by bit. We're going to have one of those defenses in the latter days of Vince Wilfork where they look great on first down, look great on second down, and then third down somebody throw a pass and they just march down the field, okay? It's going to be one of those defenses. He's just done nothing to address speed, like, effectively. I know he picked some speedy guys, but we're going to have holes on our defenses, and I don't have any confidence in the coaching staff. I'm waiting for them to be last in the division, and then maybe some people will wake up. Love to hear what you have to say. Thanks, John.
Look, Miami Dolphins have been very bold with some of the moves they've made this offseason. I still don't trust Tua. The Bills, it's their division until further notice. Are the Jets going to be better than the Patriots next year? I find that
Zach Wilson turns the ball over a lot. He'd have to take a really big step forward.
And he was better after that knee injury. I will say that.
He was.
But I mean, they're still the Jets.
He plays quarterback like a little kid. He just, like, chucks it around out there. I mean, he doesn't protect the football. Also, their offensive line is still an issue for the Jets. I don't think the Patriots are going to finish last. But if they finish third, would I be surprised? No, I wouldn't. You know, I think, again, a lot of this comes down to Mac Jones, I think. And how much of a, like, if Mac Jones is Joe Burrow in year two, then there's no way the Patriots are finishing last. And they're probably nipping at the heels of the Bills. If it just turns out he makes a nice progression, a nice step, and he's, you know, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, you know, whatever, then they're probably the third place team in the division.
All right, we'll get into the Sports Hub Celtics show here right after the headlines. A lot to talk about with the C's as they get ready for Game 1 against the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. A tip-off at 1 at TD Garden. You want to talk C's, get on with us at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.